Can we say hello to Miranda and Jess as they come up?
Hello.
Yes. Anna says hello, that's for sure. All right, so we have seeded this question, and we're going to be hearing from our church family members throughout the next 6 weeks asking these questions or this open-ended statement, which is, I'm going to miss this thing about as we say goodbye to our facility here at 31 West, and I'm excited about this as we go to a new location with a new family, so I have no clue what they're about to say. But this is Jess and Miranda and Anna. Why don't you come into the spotlight just a little bit so people can see you, and I'll let you guys go for it. I'll stay out of the way if you
can. I'm going first.
Yep. Jess has to go first. She said so. Oh, Miranda's going first.
Say hi.
Anna's going first.
I think that I'll miss the most just the non-traditional setting of our location and being located in downtown Newark, close to the square with everything, but especially the open space where she just came crawl around like a hooligan. What I'm looking forward to the most, I think, is just growing our community and are you excited to meet new people? Okay. but yeah, just meeting the other two congregations and seeing what we're able to accomplish together.
It's rather abrupt handoff. Yeah, I think kind of echoing the same sentiment that my wife had, I think this space itself, the smaller venue, I think, offers a lot more of like an intimate space that kind of lends itself to an authenticity that I think is hard to replicate in other areas. But so that's one thing I think I will miss. I won't miss the first time we ever tried to come here. The doors were locked on us. It was very cold, and that was fun. We did come back next week, obviously. So I think the one thing I'm looking forward to, though, is kind of similar to what she said. It's just like a new opportunity to meet new people, allow for the community, the congregation to grow, for Anna to obviously meet more people as she's getting very fussy. So, yeah, I think it's an exciting opportunity, obviously, and we'll see what comes of it.
There we go. Jess and Miranda came to us, had been watching online for a period of time, and then decided to come in person. This was maybe 2 years ago or so, 2.5. And that first Sunday was a snow day, or was it our New Year's? We normally take New Year's Day off, and we were online only the day they decided to come in person. So we're thankful that they actually stuck with it and come for it. And Gus and Michelle online came to us online, right? And you asked if we would baptize you from the online. So great. It's great. So we're doing this hello and goodbye because we're saying hello to new friends, new family, new spaces, and we're saying goodbye to this place that we have here. And normally, though, we're drawn to new things, I think. I like to have new things. I like to have nice, shiny new shoes. I like to have new clothes. We like new babies around. I love the sound of new babies around. Michelle just had her baby, and she'll be joining us before too long. A new house, when you get a new house, you're excited about it. When you get a new car, you're like, woohoo, I got a new car. Look at you. You want to show off the new thing that you have. Some people get new haircuts, you know, like, I don't remember what that was like, but those of you who do, you like to show off your new haircut. We tend to like new things, but what about old things? What about the old things, about the things of the past? We have some nostalgia that comes from the way things used to be. We used to do it this way, and I remember when. We like the old things as well. There's a simplicity of the old and of the past. There's a joy of the past. We kind of like those memories, especially when this past thing that we have, we hang on to it, And we want to hang on to it because we're afraid of what's out here in the new. Because this is an unknown thing over here. There's this little nervousness about what does the new look like. The scripture today, I'll read it here in a few minutes, calls us to remember who we were in the past. Who's the person you were in the past? I was a teenager once, believe it or not. I was. It was a long time ago. I did have hair back then. I barely remember that part, but I remember it because by college it was starting to already go away. And as a teenager, though, I was always the smartest person in the room. Certainly smarter than my parents. And I was smarter than my teachers, and my smart mouth got me into a lot of trouble, continues to do to some extent. But I remember who I was as a teenager. I'm not so proud of all of those moments from teenage years. How many of you would say I'm proud of every single moment when I was a teenager? Nobody. All right, so finally a truth-telling congregation. I asked the question properly, so you didn't have to raise your hand. I was a college kid once, too. I remember that. I became dumb in college. I was really smart as a teenager, and then in college I realized how much I didn't know. I learned all of these things that were just scratching the surface of everything else that I could learn. There were so many smarter people than me. My parents got a lot smarter, too. But then I still continued to make dumb decisions, reckless decisions. I was just not thinking clearly. I'd make stupid mistakes. I'm not super proud of all of my moments in college either. How many of you would say, how did I word that before? I am not super proud of all of my college moments because we make dumb decisions. Ben's in college. He makes all good decisions, right? That's not true? Okay. Well, then I got married. I became a youth pastor. I became the best husband ever. I did everything right. I did all of the things properly. As a youth leader, I never made a single mistake. Everyone loved me. And actually, they did love me, despite the fact that I made lots of mistakes. I didn't know what I was doing. I was bad at being a husband. The kids came along, and I wasn't great at being a father either. I just had to learn things along the way. And what happens now is I think about all of those times and I cringe. And especially at 2 a.m., you ever get one of those? You wake up and you just think about something that happened 15 years ago and you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Okay, so now, yes, you're with me on that. I wonder now, though, what I'm doing now in these days, this time, that 10 years from now, I'll go, ooh, at 2 a.m., I can't believe I did that. What is it that I'm doing now that I'll regret later? Because I think I'm probably doing pretty good. You know, like I'm all right. I'm making good decisions. Or just, yeah, doing great. Later on, maybe I'll not think of that way. The writer of Ephesians says, remember who you were. I'll go ahead and read the passage for us. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, and without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So he's specifically writing to people who believe in Jesus, but they weren't Jewish people, all right? Now, perhaps you don't know this lingo. You can figure out what circumcised and uncircumcised means later. I'm not going to describe that process to you, but let's just say this. The circumcised people were Jewish, and the uncircumcised people were not Jewish. And there was this big debate about whether you should become Jewish through that act of circumcision or in order to believe in Jesus or not. In fact, the book of Galatians is pretty much all about that topic. But Ephesians just kind of highlights the difference. You who were not circumcised, you were these people. You were once far away. Remember who you were, is what he's trying to say. But now, you're this. You're something different. So, just know that that's the the dichotomy we're playing with. Remember who you were without Jesus. And I would ask you that same question. Do you remember who you were without Jesus? Maybe you've been doing this Jesus thing your whole life. Some of you have been around a while. You've been doing church, and you've been loving Jesus for a long, long time. But can you remember a moment where you didn't believe in Jesus? What was it like when you didn't believe in Jesus? I can remember. I was at Living Vine Christian School. Mrs. Izor led me in the sinner's prayer, and I prayed this prayer, and I became a Christian. I accepted Jesus into my heart for the first time. I had to do it a couple of times to make sure. But for the first time in second grade. And it completely changed my life. I gave up drinking and wild parties and women. I no longer went to the bars and strip clubs because my dad was taking me. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing changed in my life. To be honest with you, I went from second grade me to second grade me, and nothing really changed in my life. I barely remember the me before Jesus, but I do remember times when Jesus gave me more and more of a new thing that Jesus was doing in my heart, and there's a clear before and after. There's a clear difference of 2012 through 2014 Dave and what Dave there is now. There's a different one because Jesus worked in my heart through that time period. The writer is saying, remember who you were and see where Jesus has changed you. And the author goes on, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, and without hope and without God in the world. Look at that list. Excluded from citizenship in Israel because they weren't Jewish. They didn't have the qualifications of being Jewish. They were foreigners to the covenant of the promise because they weren't Jewish. They weren't part of the covenants that God had made with the Jewish people. They were without hope. Can you imagine being without hope? Some of you know exactly what that's like. What it's like to be without hope. Hopeless people do desperate things. You all have had a period of hopelessness in your life. Many people who go through major depressive episodes have a period of hopelessness. They just lose all will to carry on and lose the will to keep moving forward in life. Hopelessness drives us to do things that we might regret later, where we might go, ooh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Hopelessness may bring out poor decisions that later you might say, I'm not so proud of that. Sometimes when you remember who you were, you realize that the past might not have been so great after all. It might not have been so good. It can be a pretty bleak picture without hope, without a promise, and without a home. But he wraps it up with this. He says, without a God in the world. Now, everybody that, it's probably Paul who wrote most of Ephesians, everybody in those days had multiple gods, lots of gods. They were all worshiping different gods in general, in society, especially the people who were uncircumcised, the Gentiles. They were all worshiping something. But he's saying, without a God in the world, that's Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, without a living, breathing Jesus, without God incarnate here with us, you don't have that. You don't have hope. Do you remember what it was like without Jesus, without a hope in the world? And that's why sometimes we need to say goodbye to this old thing, this old us, this old person without hope, without life, without meaning, without a hope in the God in the world, without a promise. We have to say goodbye to that so we can say hello to something new. Say hello to what God is doing. I love this visual of a bridge. Do I have a picture of a bridge? Is there a picture? Yeah. This sermon, to be honest with you, I preached this sermon a couple weeks ago at Christian Endeavor with a different flavor to it. But I love this picture of the bridge because there's an old bridge, right? There's an old bridge connected to a new bridge. This old bridge has some beauty to it, doesn't it? It's like classic bridge. It's got strong foundations. It's got great roots. But it's seen some things, hasn't it? It's been through a lot. There's been a lot of traffic over that thing. It's seeing some growth on it that's not as healthy. It's going to destroy it eventually, but it's connected to something new. It's connected to something that's beautiful, something that's sturdy and strong also, something that's going to take it to another side. The old has nostalgia, but the old has some baggage with it. The old is carrying the weight of long ago decisions. But Jesus can come along and bring us to something new. We have to say goodbye to the old sometimes so that we can say hello to something new. There's newness in Jesus. Jesus is the one who can bring us to the other side. Here's what the scripture says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I think that's the key phrase for the whole passage is, but now. But now. Now it's the transition. Remember who you were, but now remember who you are. Remember who you were, but now remember who you are. You were once far away, who you were, having been brought near who you are. Brought near means the opposite of being far. On the fly at Christian Endeavor when I preached this, I pulled out the old Grover. Do you remember Grover from Sesame Street? Do you remember the sketch? Near? Anybody? Chris? Do it with me. Far. Right? There's a nearness and a farness, and there's a separation between the two. The who you were was far. But now you have been brought near because of the blood of Christ. Near is the opposite of far. So who you used to be without a home, without a body, without a promise, without a hope, without a God in this world, that's who you were. But now, this is who you are. You have a home in the body of Christ together. You have people who love you. You have a family who serves you, and you serve them. You have a role in that family, and the family needs you. No matter what happens in this space or the next space, our family needs you. You have a promise of salvation in the next life, a promise for a kingdom of heaven at hand in this life, a promise to be the people of God together, and a promise for provision of the future. You have a hope. Much of our hope lies in that promise itself. We can have hope because we have family. We have a future together. We have a hope of being needed by our family and a hope in our salvation because you have a God in this world. It's a great promise. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. What a hope to believe in. We have Jesus. It's not some distant, dispassionate God. Rather, God is known and knowable because God is in this world through Jesus Christ. And that God works to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God wants the very best for you. You can remember what life was like. We've had some good times. We've had some not so good times. You can do it for yourself personally, for your family, for our congregation together. You can remember what it was like. There's beauty there. At times we've had hundreds of people. It's awesome. Today, not so much. It's still awesome. It's just not as many people. You know, this is the way it is. It's just life sometimes. Whether we like it or not, we have to acknowledge that these things are part of our past. Things that we might, at 2 a.m., go, ooh, wish that hadn't happened. Wish I hadn't done that. Wish I'd made a different decision. There's things in my past that I'm not super proud of. There's things in your past I'm sure you're not super proud of. And like the old bridge, it's got beauty to it, but there's some scars too. The church at large, our church together, has a legacy. It has beauty to it, but it has scars with it too. And we are us. In our authenticity, in our brokenness, and in our healing, and in our scarring, we are us. But now, remember who you are. Remember who you are. But now remember who you are. We are people who say goodbye, we say hello. We're bridge builders. There's another side of the bridge over here that draws us near to where God is leading us. We come together because we are a people who have a God in this world that has promised us, and we can have hope. We have a promise that God will provide for us, that God will provide for the good of those who love him. We have a hope that there's new life on the other side, that there's a bridge that may not look like the old bridge, right? This, it may not look the same once we get there. We will miss this space. I'm going to miss it. Miranda said, she named it like this casual open space where babies can cry. I promise you babies can cry in the new one. It's okay. But this thing that we're doing may not look like the same thing we used to do, but it connects us to the same Jesus. We just want to connect to our neighborhoods and our communities and our families with the blood of Jesus Christ so that they too can come near and they have a story where they can say, I remember when, but now I remember who I am. We can connect that story to so many people. So let's say goodbye to who we were. And say hello to who we are. We can remember who we were, but we need to be honest about all of our history, all of our story, the good, bad, and the ugly. But now, let us be that bridge builder by remembering who we are. And together, we are the body of Christ. Together, we are connected by the blood of Christ. And what that bridge looks like on either side of that doesn't really matter as much as the connection we share. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that there's so much going on in the life of this community, in the life of the other communities that we're joining together with. We ask, Lord, that you help us to honor the past and be present in the here and now, and then look forward with hope to the future because you have given us the bridge to cross over so that we don't have to be far. We can come near because of the blood of Christ that you have provided for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to leave, we're just going to sing hello goodbye again. You can stand. You can just dance around if you want to.